Welcome to Spirit Mornings with Bruce McGregor and...
Chris McGregor, play the marimbas again.
Oh, okay. Hang on
please.
A second. Sure. We'll marimba away.
We'll find the special music that like during the news.
Yeah.
I'm always asking things at the last minute.
That's all right.
This is nice. Yeah. I want it now.
This is a young girl and a boy playing, and then, an older man playing the flute thing.
Uh-huh.
They can't really walk around when you do it because they're big, these big sets. And so everybody learns how to play them in town.
Uh-huh. And you have to walk around them.
That's right.
That's right.
Well, it draws you in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so precious. They give you what they can.
Yeah.
And they have such a love for Our Lady, especially for Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Mm-hmm. Well, she to a certain extent, I've been praying with this... wonderful apparition. I mean, really, it is the most wonderful apparition of our times, isn't it?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the things we have to think about, if 20 years ago, if you were using the Liturgy of the Hours or, you know, praying a daily prayer, you wouldn't even have seen the feast day celebrated in your book.
Really?
In fact, today is the feast of Saint Jane de Chantal.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah. It's been moved. Mm-hmm. And they moved it because today is Our Lady's Day. But we have gradually come to appreciate Mary of the Americas and not just of Mexico.
Right.
You know, gradually her the awareness of her special nature to all of us has come clear. Really, it's almost like a global meditation on this woman, that little by little we've come to appreciate the gift that she is and why she came and the unity that she wanted to bring about and the desire that she had to reach out to all people, especially the little ones. Today is an Annunciation Day, because Mary appears almost like the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary. Mary appears to us, and the person who stands up for us is Juan Diego. You know, he represents all of us. He represents we little people who don't feel like we have a special mission, that we don't have, you know, any particular place in God's plan, and that's just wrong. God has a very special plan for us. So anyway, I'm jumping right into my meditation. But it's so beautiful.
I love it. And it was so simple what she had to say. I mean, it was, do you not know that I am your mother?
Yeah.
Do you not know you're under my protection?
Yeah. And it's step back even just for a second. That line in particular. I mean, if we pause and pray with Scripture first, and we go, I know we're in the Advent season, but we go from the crib to the cross. And today really is a day to stand below the cross and hear again Jesus say to John, behold your mother.
Mm-hmm.
And that mother never stopped being mother. Mm-hmm. And that was that's the only invitation she needed to get going. And she has appeared to us and continued to enter into our lives and to do what mothers do, take care of things.
Sure.
So there's a lot to meditate on this morning on the Feast of Our Lady Guadalupe. But we should always start with a prayer.
Yes.
I always jump ahead and then I have to jump back.
<It's okay. laughs>
You do it so stealthily.
Oh, yeah.
Good jumping.
Stomp around here. And I love the opening prayer for the Mass today. God of power and mercy, you bless the Americas at Tepeyac with the presence of the Virgin Mary of Guadalupe. May her prayers help all men and women to accept each other as brothers and sisters. Through your justice present in our hearts, may your peace reign in the world. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
And that's so beautiful, because when she came, a lot of people may not realize, but it prevented potentially a huge clash of civilizations, because it's felt as the largest mass conversion in history.
20,000 in just a very short period of time.
Right, and probably prevented a revolt by the Indians as they and then the indigenous people.
There's a whole political situation going on behind the scenes, and really it's hard even to read the history. We think our latest massacres, and they are, you know, horrific, but it was a horrific time that she entered into, where there was such a superstition and so many cults to gods, the serpent god, the snake god. Where people were being, especially the poor and especially the helpless, think about today, the poor and the helpless were being sacrificed to the gods so that there would be better crops or better weather, or they would be able to overcome their enemies, you know, those sorts of things. There wasn't an awareness of a merciful God. So she brings to us the awareness of a merciful God, and that she is the mother of the merciful God. She stands behind, the sun is behind her, that beautiful image of Mary. If you have a chance to pull out your image of Our Lady of Guadalupe, if you're a home that doesn't necessarily have her as your primary virgin, I mean, we all have a special Blessed Mother, but I would really bring her out today and just spend time with her, looking at her, because that's what Juan Diego did. In he being an Indian, you know, coming from, you know, a culture that was not being appreciated, that was looked down upon, coming into the Aztec culture where, you know, he was just really, it could have been sacrificed himself, actually. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that's the caste or the level that he was at. And yet, as he's, and he's converted, he had a conversion to Catholicism, relatively recent one, too, and loved the faith. Really loved the faith. In fact, he was going to church. Mm-hmm. Watch out what happens while you're going to church, you mm-hmm. know. He's going to Mass, and he hears the beautiful music. He hears birds. He hears something, and many authors have written and talked about what he heard. Some even have said it was like a sound from heaven, that's what heaven will sound like. You know, the such beautiful, I love to listen to the birds, and we have beautiful birds out at the Pro Sanctity Center in Elkhorn. And if you don't pay attention, you hear the dump trucks going by. You mm-hmm. really have to pay attention. But once you start listening for him, that's all you hear. And he was already, going back to Juan Diego, he's already very attentive. He's preparing himself for Mass. Just think about that. He's getting ready to go to Mass. So he's walking thoughtfully. What did Mary do when she would go places? She pondered. So he's walking thoughtfully. And so he heard the sound of these beautiful birds. And of course, at that moment, there she is, this most beautiful woman, 14 years old, maybe, with the most beautiful face, you know, and the images that surround her. I went to the Mary page on the internet from Dayton, from where I go to school at times, and one of my professors highlighted all the beautiful pieces on that image of Mary, that this wonderful living image of Mary that came to Juan Diego. He saw her eyes. Juan saw her eyes, and they weren't looking up or away from him. They were looking to him. This is a symbol of humility, mm-hmm. that she looks down to us, and she's not trying to make herself God. She's inviting us to God. She's inviting us to her son. Her face is a face of compassion, not of anger or, you know, I'm going to get you, you've been bad, you know, that kind of thing. Hers is a face of love and a face that accepted him as an Indian. Her hands were not, you know, just in prayer, but they were like indicating something, reaching out to him, offering him something. And I love the fact that, man, many of us in this culture, we don't know that Mary, that's a... The band around her waist is a symbol of her being pregnant. She's full of God. She's the virgin of the O. Next week we celebrate the O antiphons. And the O is a symbol of fullness. And pregnancy is the symbol of fullness. So there's Mary, 14 and pregnant, with this beautiful face, with the rays behind her.
I love listening.
Guess what day today is? If you just tuned in, it's the feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe. Or as they say in Brooklyn, my dear friend Monsignor Vicari says, Guadalupe. Today's the feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe.
And what you're hearing is music from San Antonio Huista, who is the village that has a very special shrine dedicated to Our Lady of Guadalupe. And it's just she's so special to them, and I know that they're celebrating in big ways.
Yeah. All night long.
So and this is kind of, yeah, so all you Ishimeros out there who are listening, they're all kind of going, Oh. Because this is, you're kind of sharing. It's probably the music they're playing right now as they're going, the kids are going off to school, or maybe they've got the day off, and who knows?
Oh, I'm sure they have the day off. Today's a big feast day. Yeah. They've been praying all night long. They have wakened the dawn with beautiful music such as this, probably louder though.
Yeah.
Much louder, because if you have to waken the dawn, you have to be pretty loud.
Yep.
And bringing, you know, buckets and buckets and buckets of roses to Our Lady and honoring her and coming to her with heartfelt desires, as Juan Diego and his people, you know, were crying out for help, for an awareness of God's presence to them. Our God, our good and holy Father, sent the mother, sent Mary. Mm-hmm. And that's just exactly what she did. She came, she appeared to Juan Diego. We were just visiting a little bit of the images, that just to spend a little time with her. With her very image, spoke to the Indian heart. Of all the negative was now becoming, being transformed. Christianity always is built on the culture where it finds itself. It doesn't take away from the culture. It adds to it. It enhances it. You think about Rome, and I love some of the churches because they're built on Mithraic temples, you know, the god of Mithras, you know, those kinds
of... Notre Dame,
mm-hmm. Exactly.
In Paris.
We're built upon our cultures. We don't take away from the culture. And so there she is with this beautiful, simple, humble man who just converted to Christianity and was just gradually coming to know, but definitely had a hunger in his heart for more. In fact, wanted to teach catechism and share his faith with other people. This wasn't an easy thing. I mean, he was just at the beginning stages, so he knew himself to be simple and humble, and by no means would have ever wanted to take on any sort of task like building a temple on the hill. But that's what we have, the whole conversation of Mary speaking to Juan Diego in three different conversations, well, several different times during that, where she would stop and she would just be present to him. And then the second time, and then when she gave him the command to go and tell the bishop, you know, build a temple here. This has to be a reminder to all the people that there is a merciful God. Not a wretched God that pulls your heart out and sacrifices you to other gods, but a merciful God who offered himself. And we have that conversation. We're going to listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
This was actually gathered up. We have almost within the space of 10 years, Don Antonio Valeriano wrote down, he was an Indian himself, a scholar and an Indian, and he wrote the whole conversation between Mary and Juan Diego, and that's what we're going to listen to in the original language, Juan Diego's original language.
Yes, this is how Mary would have sounded to
and this
Juan
is how
Diego.
Mary, and Juan Diego back to her.
Mashikaki. Mahwe yuye inmol yulyu no shokoyo, makatle tlen mits mati, mits teki pacho. Makamo ken mochiwa in mish inmol yulyu, quish amo nika nika nimonansi, quish amo no se walu titlan, neka walu titlan etika, quish amo nehuatl in nimo pakayelis. Quish amo no ke shanko no mamal huasco in tika. Quish ok itla in mote moneki.
What the Blessed Virgin said to Juan Diego was, "Do listen, do be assured it in your heart, my littlest one. Nothing at all should alarm you. Should trouble you, nor any way disturb your countenance, your heart. For am I not here, I, your mother? Are you not in the cool of my shadow, in the breeziness of my shade? Is it not I that am your source of contentment? Are you not cradled in my mantle, cuddled in the crossing of my arms? Is there anything else for you to need?"
Nothing.
No. Sounds good to me.
And so Our Lady entices him up the hill with this beautiful music. The music, he described it like birds. Juan Diego describes it like birds and hears in that music something heavenly. And that entices him up to the hill. He sees Our Lady. She addresses him with these warm diminutives. My Juanito, Juanito, my little Juan, my little Juan, my dearest one. I mean, she speaks to him as only a mother can speak to a child.
Yeah. But he's not a little boy.
No, no. He's an adult.
A grown man.
I don't know if he was widowed yet, but he was married. He lost his wife eventually. And had no children at that point, had just converted to Catholicism, was learning every day something about his faith, trying to share it with others. So in its simplicity, was already living a very apostolic life. Little did he know that our dear mother had a mission for him. Mm-hmm. And she asked him, to him, I am, says the wonderful lady, the Holy Mary, the Eternal Virgin, Mother of the true God. That's how she defines herself. Listen to that. She says, I am the Holy Mary, the Eternal Virgin, Mother of the true God. Mary never sets herself up as God. She always refers to God. I wish a shrine to be built here to show my love to you. I am your merciful mother, thine and all the dwellers of this earth. To bring to pass what I bid thee, go thou and speak to the Bishop of Mexico and say, I sent thee to make manifest to him my will. And thus goes the Annunciation. In other words, he's supposed to go. He, a little, you know, humble, feels himself to be worth nothing person, is being asked to go to the Bishop of Mexico and ask him to build a temple, to build a church on this hill where he's just heard music and birds and song.
They're going in haste to the hillside.
Go in haste, exactly.
Just like the Blessed Virgin.
Exactly. It is an Annunciation. It is absolutely. And he does not hesitate. Notice that in that first stage, he does not hesitate. Well, he goes. The servants in particular, the actual rendition of this story, show how the servants treated him terribly as he went to the house of the bishop. And the bishop actually was very kindly, though skeptical, and listened to his story and said, well, you know, I'll have to think and pray about this. We'll see you another time. Mm-hmm. So he has to leave, and he goes back to Mary, and again she has this beautiful invitation, and he says, you know, I'm really not the right one. You know, you should find somebody else. I'm not learned. I don't know the languages. You know, it's just very difficult for me. Really, Mary, find somebody else. You know, I mean, wasn't because he didn't want to do her bidding. He didn't feel worthy. Mm-hmm. You know, he didn't feel like he could do it. And he knew and loved her so much, he wanted to do right by her. So he was willing to step aside. Oh, no, oh, no, I want you to go back. I want you to go back. So he goes back again a second time. And again, disdain, being made wait in the parlor for, a long time. And the bishop didn't even know that he was there waiting in the cold, being treated, so disrespectfully by his own servants. Finally, he comes into the bishop now the second time. And this second time, now the bishop, again, treats him kindly, but very quickly is ready to dismiss him and says, well, you know, I really can't be building a temple, a church. You have to show me a sign. He does write in later on, the bishop, when in his own memories of these things, right, there was something very sincere about Juan Diego. He recognized in Juan, a truthfulness, but he still couldn't, just jump right in. Okay, let's go build a temple. So this time he says, go back to Our Lady and ask for a sign. Well, you also know that in that second visit, Juan Diego wasn't going to actually go to Mary because he had an uncle who, His wife had died by this time, and he had an uncle that he was taking care of, a very sick uncle. And he had dedicated much time and energy to this uncle. And it was a very bad day that day. It was one of those very bad days. Mm-hmm. And he was not, that wasn't that he didn't want to meet Mary. He just knew he had to go to take care of his uncle. So he kind of skirts the mountain, and Mary tracks him down, as the priest this morning at St. James said, tracks him down and finds him and tells him, don't worry about your uncle. I've already taken care of him. And in fact, his uncle, there's a wonderful story about the uncle who actually received a vision of Mary also, mm-hmm. and was healed. Now, I think there's something very important there, because oftentimes we don't want to do what God wants us to do, or we're afraid even to approach God, approach Our Lady, because we're afraid it's going to take us away from our daily life. I'm busy. I've even heard this. I'm just a little too busy for God. You know, I have other things to do and I have people to take care of. Well, who is God? You know, mm-hmm. And will not God prepare the path for us so that we can do His will? And through the intercession of His mother, that his uncle, Juan Diego's uncle, was healed. That's a very important part of the story, mm-hmm. because it shows our excuses, yeah. You know, and we have 1,000 of them. That was a pretty good excuse. My uncle's dying. I need to go to his bedside. And Mary took care of it.
It's an act of mercy. Yeah, I mean, he was acting out of a Christian charity and a love, and that's what our Lord would have called him to do.
Absolutely.
He was probably trying to be faithful.
He was. He wasn't. There was no guile about him. Mm-hmm. You know, he wasn't trying to run away from his duties. He actually was wanting to be dutiful. You know, and that was, and Mary understood that. No, we've got things for you to do. And this is the part that I love the best, at least this year. Every year I go back and meditate on the story, and I think it is a gospel story, a gospel alive story. It's not a memory, it's a living memory, it's Eucharistic. We have to remember, when we meditate on the things of God, it's Eucharistic. It's not a memory of a past story, a nice little fable. It's a living reality that gives me grace today, that allows me to grow as a result of my meditation, grow in my own faith and my own conviction. And when Juan Diego tells Mary that he needs a sign, that the bishop is asking for a sign, she, you know, indicates to go and pick some roses. I'll give you a sign. Roses? You know, there are no roses on this dry, arid hill that mm-hmm. has a few cacti, and that's about it. You know, this is not, you know, this isn't a garden. This is a barren hill. Well, it wasn't a barren hill when he just went over just a little bit, and there were an array of flowers, not just roses, but an array with dew on them. Can you feel the dew? Can you taste it almost? Can you see it? You know, spend time with the freshness of that sign, the freshness of heaven to us, the freshness of God's presence to us. Those roses, those flowers are alive. They're more alive than we are, because God has presented them to Juan Diego and to all of us as a sign that He is present, and He will continue to give us what we need to accomplish the mission He's entrusted to us.
Well, what was extraordinary, too, is that those flowers, just as a side note, were not indigenous to the area. Oh. Actually, they were indigenous to the area of Spain where the bishop came from.
So he would recognize those flowers right away. And even just from the smell, they were so odorous. They just filled every space when you come into the room with these flowers. Just beautiful. Anyway, he gathers them up. He brings it. I just can see him bringing, tripping back, you know, I've got the, oh my gosh, you know, hardly with any words. And she, this is the part I like, this is where I'm at today in my meditation on this, is that she arranges the flowers in his tilma. She doesn't want them messy. She wants them just right. And we know later the image, her image, would be imprinted on his tilma. But I can just see her now, as a mother would to a child going out on a winter day. Now let's get that coat on right, you know. You got to have your muffler there. Wear your mittens, you know, that kind of caring for even the smallest detail. And Mary goes to him and touches him. Mary is not separate from us. We often see her in this beautiful image standing in Our Lady of Guadalupe and all the wonderful images. But in the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe, we have to remember she knelt down and arranged the flowers in his tilma. Mary came close, breathed on him. He could smell her breath. That's how close she was to him. Oh, gosh, I just want to stay right there. Mm-hmm. But we can't, because he then has a mission. We can't just stay there and, oh, isn't that beautiful how close Mary is to her child, to Juanito, you know. Then she sends him off. And so off he trips with now. He's got to kind of hold his arms around because he doesn't want to lose those flowers. It's almost like a little boy. He's not a little boy. He's a man. But he's got to keep those flowers close to his heart. If you know the story of St. Tarcisio, when he had the Eucharist and he had to hold the Eucharist underneath his tilma, his cloak, to take the Eucharist to the Christians that were in jail. It's the same image of holding something very precious and not wanting anybody to take it from him. He gets there, and this is the third time now. He gets there to the bishop's palace. He knows he's going to be treated badly, and he is. Oh my gosh, disdain all over the face of the servants. They did not want to let him in. You cannot come back. Stop bothering the bishop. You know, you cannot, this is not your place, but he insists. He has the strength and energy that comes from grace, and he waits. And he's finally allowed in, and he waits some more. I don't know how long he must have waited, you know. And finally he's allowed in, and the bishop looks up at him, and the stories are just, I mean, it's a wonderful, oh my God, he's back again, you know. But the bishop, again, is kindly. And as he goes up to him, there's something different this time. What have you got under that cloak? You know, what have you got? Does he have in today's this? I mean, we have the image of a cloak and something terrible being hidden under it. I don't need to go back over the story. I think you know what I mean. But he opens it up and they just cascade down. And as Chris said just a moment ago, the bishop right away recognized those flowers. Those flowers were from his area in Spain. Those flowers said something to him. They were definitely a specific, explicit sign to the bishop that Mary wanted him to pay attention.
Because they were nowhere in that area. No, this came from heaven.
That's right. They came from heaven. They had the dew of heaven. Oh, I'm back on the flowers again. But it's so important to notice those details, just as it's important when we meditate on the Annunciation, those little things, the dance of Mary and Elizabeth. I mean, okay, I don't want to jump in.
Don't forget, as he opened the tilma and the roses cascaded out, there is another thing that struck
the
bishop.
So then he opens it. Well, actually, the bishop comes towards him, opens his tilma even a little more, and they all gasp. Because there, and even the wonderful thing is, not even Juan Diego knew what was on his tilma. He thought he was carrying flowers, the sign he thought he was carrying.
Yep.
They were just simply covering up the most beautiful image that to this day, and we could spend a whole program. Last year we spent a little time talking about it, but just go back and look again at the story of Juan Diego's tilma, and there is the image, the exact replica image of Mary on his tilma, on his cloak, on a rough woven cloak.
Hemp. Should have disintegrated by now. Should have been gone.
Yeah. And to this day, I mean, I've read some scientific studies of that tilma. They cannot understand how it was put there.
There's no pigments.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no paint pigments. I mean, that has
no
been
strokes
under
of a brush. Nothing. Yeah,
right.
Nothing.
Well, and the other interesting thing too, Father Ross Burkhalter was doing his reflection this morning and pointed out that through the course of time, people have tried to augment this tilma a little bit with other colors and stuff.
No.
They're all gone or going away.
Or they fade off, or they chip off. The actual image, nothing.
Yeah.
So we have in our time, in our, you know, within the realm of our period, we still have this image alive and well and continuing to cause massive conversions. Massive growth among the Christian people.
And it continues to sustain the faith, because one thing that we do not appreciate, I don't think, in the United States, is the amount of persecution that occurred in the 1920s, around the turn of the century, in Mexico.
Miguel Pro and there.
All of the Mexican martyrs. Gonzalez Flores and all of the Mexican martyrs. Mm-hmm. I mean, this was a horrendous persecution, modern day martyrs by the hundreds, if not the thousands.
It's one of the reasons today that still Mexico is recuperating, and why we maybe have a small amount of clergy, because they were so persecuted during that time. I mean, the persecution was tremendous.
But Our Lady was the one, that image in the households, one held close in their hearts. Not unlike the image of the Divine Mercy that sustained Poland and most of Eastern Europe during those times under communists and under the Nazis. Yeah.
The Lord always brings to us that which we most need. Mm-hmm. And he sent his mother. Behold your mother. Listen to that. Jesus said, your mother's going to be present to you. She is going to be there for you. And she wants to be in your homes. Today is a day. Okay, let's take this now to our own personal application. We know that from that moment on, the bishop did build a temple. Mm-hmm. And he started off with a small little chapel, and then he built a beautiful temple. I personally have not been able to go to, I have my nieces and my brother-in-law are all from Mexico City, but I've never been able to go. You know,
in my heart, most of all, yeah. I want to get yeah, to that, yeah. that
well,
shrine.
One of these days we will. One of these days we will.
Let's go.
Yeah, all right. All right.
This year.
Day after tomorrow.
All right.
But I think one of the personal applications in our, first of all, to take up the story, you can find it. Go to the Mary page, www.marypage.org, or find just Google on Our Lady of Guadalupe if you don't have a book. I've been reading and retreating with Mary, Our Lady of Guadalupe in Juan Diego, a retreat with Virgilio Elizondo and friends. It's that series by St. Anthony Messenger Press. It's a lovely series that takes different saints and allows you to do a retreat, like a mini retreat in a week. So a meditation a day or a couple meditations. Very simple, very practical, very down to earth with reflection questions. So take time today. Find something like that on your shelf or look on the internet. Or just simply, you know, in today's liturgy, read the prayers and turn to Mary as Juan Diego did in simplicity, like a child, and ask her, you know, to intercede for your needs, for your sick uncles, for those that are, for your country, for your world, for the unborn, all the things that Our Lady Guadalupe stands for, Our Lady of the Americas, to pray for our country at this point. So, so very important. That's number one. Number two, to build your own temple. Mary wants us to build an interior temple. Mm-hmm. I know every day somebody talks to me, either they've listened to the radio or they come personally and they talk about their spiritual journey. This is a time. We're in Advent. We're in a time of preparation. This is a time, it's a new year of the liturgy. It's the new season of the liturgical year. This is a time to get our spiritual life in order. This is a time to really look, am I living fully as God is calling me to, my own spiritual life? And is my home a temple for God? You know, to look at what I watch, what I wear, where I go, how I spend my time, all those things. You know, a temple is a sacred place. And if my home is and my interior home and my physical home are set up as sacred places, then I have to look at decisions, the way I live and how I live and how I spend my time.
And I would really recommend, too, that we, in our prayer, reflect and see if we've been like the servants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, how often have we just dismissed somebody because they seem simple or they are I'm so advanced in my spiritual life.
Exactly.
What would they know? What mm-hmm. would you know? I mean, yeah. And this is Our Lady of Guadalupe, she is our mother, mm-hmm. all of our mothers. Just mm-hmm. don't put her in a box and say, well, that's for the people of Mexico. Mm-hmm. She says for the people of Mexico and all of Latin America mm-hmm. and the United States and Omaha and West Omaha and North Omaha. And she's for all of
that's
us.
Right. She's our mother, our
that's
image.
That's right.
And if you don't have a holy card or a little image of Our Lady of Guadalupe, I certainly would. This would be a wonderful little gift to give to the home, to give to your apartment, to give to your place and space. It really doesn't have to be.
It's lovely. You can find some really lovely ones out there.
It's important to spend time with that image. Images are icons. They lead us closer to the Lord. And I would encourage you, I have to give a little, we have two things coming up that would help. This mm-hmm. Sunday at the ProSanctity Center in Elkhorn, we're going to celebrate Our Lady, the Virgin of the O. The O antiphons start on Monday. That's the little verse that goes before the Magnificat in every evening prayer or the gospel scriptural that we, what do we call it? When you open the scriptures for the day, you will read a little phrase that gives one sentence or phrase that describes Jesus, the Emmanuel, the coming of the Emmanuel, the O Emmanuel, O come Emmanuel. To sing that song this next week because it's the novena or the countdown to Christmas. And at our place at 3:00, we'll be celebrating, we'll be singing singing, explaining, sharing. There'll be things for children. Our wonderful Prosanctity member, Lori Eith, will be talking about what it means to be a mother in joy and suffering, and she certainly has experienced that. And we'll be praying evening prayer together and explaining a little the O Antiphons that start the very next day on the 17th. And it is the countdown to Christmas. Mm-hmm. So that's out at the Retreat Center this Sunday afternoon. Everybody's welcome. We end always with food. We have a big pot of soup going, and then we have some saint stories.
And you'll hear more of those, because I'm sure we'll get you to cut a PSA so that you can run and let people know.
Oh, wonderful.
So, yes. It's down in San Antonio, Huista, and all over Latin America, Guatemala, and Honduras, and our Mexico.
And Our Lady of Guadalupe, Omaha. Turn to her for all your needs, as we say and conclude here. Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
And Juan Diego,
pray for us.
Thank you. Amen.
All right. Teresa Monahan, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. And enjoy the feast day today, Our Lady of Guadalupe. Coming up, T. Scott will have a look at your news, sports, and weather. We'll be back with maybe some more worst-case scenarios.
I think so.
Okay. And then Father Langford coming over.
Yes, talking about Mother Teresa and her relationship with Our Lady, and a very special connection to Our Lady of Guadalupe in Juan Diego.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, sounds good.